Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come now to your holy word. And as we come, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be certain that in Christ our sins are removed. And help us that we might rightly understand, remembering that you are God Almighty, along with your Son and the Holy Spirit, that you have done everything to bless us in countless ways. So help us as we proceed through life then, Father, to acknowledge you in our lives, to know that our lives are in your hands. And if you want it, you will grant it for us. And if you don't want it, then you won't grant it for us. Help us not only to acknowledge you, but help us to accept whatever your will is for our lives, knowing that in your sight, it is best for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves today on Sunday. It's the first day of the week, so the weekend was yesterday. Most people think the weekend is Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is the week ending. Sunday is the week beginning. So God is calling us to gather like this every single week in order to begin the week in a most wonderful way. So here we are gathered, and we're on the first day of the week, and we probably have plans for this week. We probably have plans even for today. For example, are you planning to probably eat lunch, maybe spend some time with family, maybe take it easy a little bit? Might be some good ways to function today. So you might have those kinds of plans. Now, what about your Monday through Friday routine? Does it get you back to the grind, if you will, of getting up, of eating, of working, of sleeping, day after day after day? Is that what you think is going to happen this week? Is that how you have it all planned out? Are you in control of that situation? Well, sometimes we think we have the ability to make it happen. I plan carefully, I put it on my schedule, I've made all the right contacts, everything is laid out, that's what's going to happen. But can you do it, though? Sometimes we think we can, but if we think we can, we are being arrogant. We are not looking at it in a proper way. God is calling us to look at it in a right way. What if we had the situation, what was it now 10 years ago when we lost our electricity for 24 hours? Didn't that just like turn everything upside down? What if that happens this week? Can we control that? By no means. What if we are injured in some way? I remember back a couple years ago, I was in a hurry. So here I am, I pull the stairs down to go up in our attic. And I'm trying to go right up the stairs real quick, and I'm not hanging on to anything. And I got about 3/4 of the way up, and I like reached out, because I'm like leaning back, and I reached out to grab the steps so I wouldn't fall all the way back, and I missed it. And boy, by the grace of God, I reached out my other hand and grabbed that. If I wouldn't have caught that, I could have died, because I probably would have fell right on my head on the concrete floor in the garage, probably broken my neck and not have been here today. But by the grace of God, he brought me through that. We don't know what's going to happen. We could be injured. We could become severely sick. Sometimes that can happen to us where we feel fine, then all of a sudden we're not feeling good. An hour later, we're in the emergency room. We don't know what's coming. What if this week we have another day like September 11, 2001? Is that going to turn our lives upside down? By all means. God wants us to know that all kinds of things can happen. We should make plans by all means, but we are not in control. He wants us to realize that reality, so he wants us to know the good news is that he is in control. He loves us. He has saved us. And he wants us to acknowledge his control over our lives. Based on this sermon, you're probably going to hear me saying a lot more, I'll see you at that meeting tomorrow if it is the Lord's will. I'm going to be tacking that on all kinds of sentences. And even when I don't tack it on, I'm going to be thinking it. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to be there unless the Lord wills it to happen. But God wants us to live in that kind of tension that he is in control. Let's go on to the outline here. Number one, can we really make it happen? In James chapter 4, verse 13, it says, Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. James was writing here about what people say. And what we say comes from the heart. Jesus said in Luke 6, he said, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. So if we are speaking in an arrogant way, saying, I am going to go to this place, and I am going to do this thing, and I am going to benefit in a certain way, that's pretty arrogant. I can't make that happen, and I should not be speaking in that way. And if I am taking that kind of an attitude, if that kind of an attitude is being reflected by what I say, that means that there's something wrong down here with my heart. God is calling me to see that that is sin. God is calling me to know that it is He who is in control, not me. He wants me to acknowledge that. He wants me to proceed with humility. He wants me to proceed with trust in Him, not trust in what I think I can do. Even Solomon, back to today's Old Testament reading, he wrote, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You know, we plan, we want it to work out in a certain way, but we cannot do it. It is in the Lord's control. Part two, do we really know about tomorrow? Verse 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Our lives on earth, when life is really wonderful, boy, doesn't it go by like so fast? And then when life is really difficult, doesn't it seem to kind of drag along and it's so miserable and we just want to get through it already? Well, God wants us to know really the proper perspective is to look at our lives here on earth, even if we live 100 years, to see that 100 years in the light of eternity forever and ever and ever. And He wants us to know that our lives here on earth are super short. They are like a drop in the bucket, if you will. But what about tomorrow, though? That should be easy enough, right? I'm feeling okay right now. I have certain resources I can use. I have plans laid out. I ought to be able to figure out today at least what's coming tomorrow. Maybe not next week or next month or next year, but at least tomorrow, right? Well, is that true? We might think it is, but it's really not. What did James say? You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Just real briefly here, a couple things from my life to give an example. To give a couple examples, I'm sure you could think of many in your own life as well. Going back about 25 years in my life, I had a particular work routine at the time, and I knew that on a regular basis, on a two-week kind of a schedule, I knew where I would be going and what I would be doing and what time I would be doing it and with what equipment I would be doing it with on a very regular basis on a two-week schedule. And as I was coming to the end of that two-year cycle, I had every reason to believe that I was going to begin the very next day another two-year cycle in the exact same way. And that was a wonderful thing for me because I've had many years of my life where I never had any idea at all what was going to happen the next day in my life. And to have those 2 years of knowing what was coming, that was wonderful. And I was pretty thoroughly convinced that that was what was coming for another 2 years. Well, I found myself, I was in Michigan, on that particular day, and as I'm driving back from Michigan, I am memorizing James chapter 4, verse 14. So I'm going over and over it, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So when I do the memory work, I'm going over and over and over it. Then once I start to know it better, now I'm beginning to think about it. And it's not that I didn't believe it was true. I did believe it was true, but I really didn't take it to heart. I really didn't say, does that verse apply to my life tomorrow? I just never made the connection. And when I got back to Ohio, to my destination, I found out something that significantly changed my life going forward. And I had no idea it was coming. And it was on the very day I memorized that verse. So God wants us to know that things come up and we just don't have the kind of control we think we do. Even this past week, on this past Wednesday, a letter arrived which brought much difficulty into my life. And then a phone call came on Friday, and I wasn't expecting either one of those things. So the letter brought a lot of extra work and difficulty, and the phone call brought more work to a plate that is already full. So we just never know what's coming out there. But the good thing, though, is that God knows what we can handle. I still think about when I came here to Bethlehem early on. I'd never been a pastor before. And I had enough to figure out with preaching and teaching and visiting and all that type of thing. And God blessed me because I started in July, and I did not have my first funeral until February. That's probably the longest stretch ever since then that I've ever gone without having a funeral. I mean, for example, there was a funeral last week, and there's another funeral now this week. But God knows what we can handle, and sometimes it seems unbearable to us, but he knows, he loves us, and he will carry us through. But maybe combining in there, though, sometimes all of us maybe need to learn to say no, too. Sometimes maybe that needs to be more a part of our vocabulary. Well, let's go on to the third part. How should believers proceed? Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. That type of statement is proper. It does express that we have particular plans, but it also acknowledges that the follow-through of those plans, that is up to the Lord. Let me give you some Bible examples here. You can see a listing that I put in your worship folder. First of all, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are asking God's will to be done. We don't know exactly what it is, but we know that whatever it is the best thing. We know it happens perfectly in heaven, and we want it to happen here on earth among us too. Letter B, Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it. Now he's talking about this great difficulty of going to the cross, receiving the nails of the cross, receiving our sin, receiving God's punishment for that sin. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. So Jesus was saying, Father, I'm dreading that whole idea, but if you really want me to do it, I want to do your will rather than my will. Really, when I think about even being a pastor, it wasn't my will to be a pastor, but I really believe that this is what God wanted me to do, so that's why I'm here. It wasn't my choice. It's not something I can do very well, but I thought, God, if you want me to do it, I'll try to give it my best shot, and I'm going to trust in you and try to do whatever I can, but this is not something that I would pick to do, but I want to be here and do it the best I can because I believe it's what God wants me to do. God wants all of us to seek his will for our lives. Letter C, Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. So he wanted to come, but he knew he could not come apart from the will of God. Letter D, Peter wrote about God's will. He wrote, it is better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will than for doing evil. So sometimes it is God's will that though we are doing good, we are suffering. We can't always understand that type of thing, but God is saying if we are living in agreement with his word, if we are trying to seek and follow his will, and if we find life to be difficult, well, that is the Lord's will that we are suffering through that situation, and how we respond to that suffering, that God maybe wants to use us to make a difference in the lives of others as they see how we go through a particular situation. Finally, in letter E, Paul made this statement about God. You're probably familiar with this here in Acts 17, where he said, in him we live and move and have our being. So that implies that without God, We do not live, we do not move, we do not exist without God. That should humble us. That should say, Lord, I will only say the next word if it is your will. And if it's not your will, I'm not going to be able to do anything at all. He wants us to see that reality. It's not a bad thing, though, because the more we see that we can't, we know that he can, and then we trust in him even more. Part 4, let us change. Verse 16, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Arrogance says, I can do it without God. I can do it regardless of God. I can do it in spite of God. God wants us to know that taking such an attitude is more than wrong. It is in the category of being evil. God is saying, let us not be that way. And if we are that way, may God cause us to repent. Finally, in part 5, let us do right. Verse 17, it says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So boasting about tomorrow is sin. But we could also say in general regarding this passage that whenever, no matter what the situation is, whether it's something we should say, something we should do, some kind of a relationship with someone else, we see our neighbor in need. You know, in whatever situation we see, the right thing that we should be doing or saying, whenever we see it, and yet we do not do it, that is sin. That's what we call the sin of omission. We know it is right, and yet we don't do it. We have many sins of commission, things that we know we shouldn't do, and yet we do them anyway. God wants us to know that we should be paying attention, and when we see what is right, he is calling us to do it. So we should acknowledge the Lord's control over all things. We should prayerfully seek his will in every circumstance. We should take action to do whatever is right in every circumstance. With all these things, God is calling us to proceed in these ways, never ever to be saved, but because of his work in Christ to save us. So we proceed in certain ways, not to get to heaven, but because God has given us that gift of heaven. The Lord is almighty. He created us. When the time was right, he stepped into the world. He removed our sins, and he opened heaven. Therefore, no matter how we have sinned, no matter how much we have sinned, no matter how much we have fallen short of his will, God wants us to know that by grace, through faith, we have his wonderful gift of forgiveness. Therefore, let us be sorry for our sins. Let us gladly acknowledge him in every circumstance. Let us trust in him in every way, and let us live unto his glory every day until finally he brings us home to heaven. And all God's people said, Amen.